Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 10, Texts 1 and 2. But 1's on the way. 1. So there's no purport to 1, so we'll read 1 and then also text number 2. Translation. Sri Vidura said, O great sage, please let me know how Brahma, the grandfather of the planetary inhabitants, created the bodies of the living entities from his own body and mind after the disappearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text number 2. Ye cha me bhagavan prishtas thavyartha bahuvitama Tanvadashvanupurvyena Chindhina Sarvasam Sayan. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Excuse me, temperature change. O greatly learned one, kindly eradicate all my doubts, and let me know of all that I have inquired from you from the beginning to the end. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Vidura asked all relevant questions of Maitreya because he knew well that Maitreya was the right person to reply to all the points of his inquiries. One must be confident about the qualifications of his teacher. One should not approach a layman for replies to specific spiritual inquiries. Such inquiries, when replied to with imaginative answers by the teacher, are a program for wasting time. Om agana cimaranda syaganandjana salakaya chakshuran militam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, and my spiritual master is forcing me to open my eyes with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto His lotus feet. The two verses together, we can maybe recite the first one. The translation is there? So we can recite that responsively, please. Sri Vidura said, O great sage, please let me know how Brahma, the grandfather of the planetary inhabitants, created the bodies of the living entities from his own body and mind after the disappearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. O greatly learned one, kindly eradicate all my doubts and let me know of all that I have inquired from you from the beginning to the end. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the verses of the second chapter. There's a nice verse. Munayo sadu pristoham bhavad bhirlokamangalam yat krita krishna samprasno yenatmas prasiditi. O sages, I have been justly questioned by you. Your questions are worthy because they relate to Lord Krishna and are therefore beneficial for the welfare of the world. Only questions of this sort are able to completely satisfy samsara. Supersiddhi, only those questions are able to satisfy the self. These are a very famous section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada lectured many times, but one time that comes to mind specifically, he was saying that people are asking questions and answers. In fact, there's the book, Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. So many living entities are asking questions. The birds are asking questions in the morning time. The lawyers are asking questions. And by the answers, someone is convicted, someone is acquitted. There's questions, suitable questions and answers. The businessmen are asking how much is this commodity and how much is that commodity, and they're buying and selling based on questions and answers. One seminar that I attended a while back said that the whole world is pretty much a conversation of questions and answers. But Srila Prabhupada pointed out that so many tongues are inquiring, but those questions will not bring you to the ultimate answer that will give us the satisfaction that we are searching for. And certainly satisfaction is the desire of all living entities. This morning is Monday. People are rising and getting their coffee and getting their coffee fix. And they're going out for another week to try to find some satisfaction in their activities. And the most amazing thing is that this has been going on since time immemorial. Generation after generation of men and women coming into the world and endeavoring day after day after day. Puna punas charvata charvananam. We know the famous statement there. Chewing that which has already been chewed by the past generation and the generation before that and before that, and no one is understanding what is this all about. This is the power of Maya. Maya Shakti is so powerful that she is able to captivate us continually. And out of great foolishness, we, again, Srimad Bhagavatam describes the living entity as a great hero. The conditioned soul is such a heroic fool. A foolish hero. Heroic person pits themselves against great odds and goes to against those odds and described as very heroic. But no one can win the battle against Maya. She is too powerful. So we should tell all the people on Monday morning to go back to bed. It's a useless struggle. Why should you struggle? But there's no other way to go. It's like being in a maze and you only have one opening. So you have to go there. Even though you may have a sense that it's not working so well, I've been in this maze. We saw Hansel and Gretel in the forest of the gingerbread. Gingerbread, gingerbread. And the devotees are struggling also. And Srila Prabhupada said that he's happy to see our struggle. Because our struggle is not a useless struggle, a futile struggle. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. Yes, people say that. Is there any light at the end of the tunnel? Yes, there is a light. And it's not an impersonal light. But Krishna is there. Behind that glaring effulgence, there is the personality of Godhead. How do we know this? Because Srila Prabhupada told us. Did Srila Prabhupada make this up? No. His guru told him. Did Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati make this up? No. His father told him. Did he make it up? And if we go on like this, no one made this up. The Vedas are eternal. They are the eternal words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they are being presented to Lord Brahma to begin his creation once again. So that the living entities who didn't quite get it last time round, didn't quite get through, can begin again. And it seems like a long time we heard the explanation Srila Prabhupada was giving. The lifetime of Lord Brahma, it is so inconceivably long, even the day of 12 hours of Lord Brahma. Can anyone remember how long it was? 4,300,000,000. And that was the 12 hours. That's Brahma's 12 hours. So we are lost. If the more we connect to the reality of our philosophy, the more small, my son Nandu was saying, he was reading the other day, 1/10,000th the size of a tip of the hair. He said, "Dad, it's just so small." We're living on the Earth planet, which it seems kind of big. You know, we are so small and we're living on this planet. So we're really small in comparison to our surroundings. But the Earth planet is like 1/10,000th the size of the tip of a hair also, in comparison to the universe that it's situated in. There are approximately 5 billion, I guess, galaxies in this universe. I'm a teacher, I go to schools and teach a little bit in the mornings. Young children, it was a science class I had to give. And I thought, looked at the science, and it was talking about the galaxies and the universe and the structure, and I thought, yes, it's very interesting. So there's, I think it's 500 million, something like that, the estimate. Approximately something like that. I read some of the, I quickly flicked through a few of the science books to try and pinpoint how many they suggested there were. And it's somewhere between 300 and 500 million galaxies. Because they really don't know. There's a lot out there. So between, how scientific is that? It's between 300 and 500 million, give or take 200 million. So we think we've got our head around that. There's 300 to 500. I can appreciate that. Yes, that's quite a lot of galaxies. Each galaxy consists of over 500 million planets. Took you a few seconds there, didn't it? To try and get your head to kind of... And I said to the children, after we discussed the lesson for a little bit, I said, I could tell you of another book which explains that this universe that we've just been talking about with all these galaxies and planetary systems within them, this book explains that that whole universe is like a little mustard seed and a huge sack of mustard seeds. But we can't explain that in school these days, so we won't go there. Somehow or other, Brahmanda Brahmate Kono Bhagavan Ajiv Guru Krishna Prasad Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. In this Brahmanda, this whole universal manifestation, the living entities are floating and drifting through the cosmic manifestation. And if one is very fortunate, he or she comes in contact with bhakti, with devotional service, with, and where do we get bhakti? From the bhakta, from a real bhakta, a real devotee. And if we are so fortunate, we gain the association. How is it possible? Srila Prabhupada said, this is for the most intelligent class of men. And ladies, I mean, we're not so, intelligent. Our intelligence is if we, Srila Prabhupada gave the example of creating good fortune. That if I have a briefcase with $1,000,000 in the briefcase and I offer it to you, your good intelligence is to take it. That would be really just to take it. So in a similar way, we don't have such great brain substance and wonderful intelligence, but it will be very intelligent. See how the intelligence actually manifests? It will be supremely intelligent to make that choice to take Krishna consciousness. That was a very intelligent decision you made. In fact, it was the most important intelligent decision you've made in a long time. For many, many, many lifetimes floating in this nightmare. Isn't it? Really. We say it's a dream, but I'm, somehow my son's come into my thoughts twice this morning. Nandu got up this morning and said, "Hey, Dad, last night I had this dream." And he was really lucid on the dream, and he explained, I usually can't remember much about the dreams, but he was explaining, I was being chased, and there was these people harassing me. And they were saying I was a cheating person, and I was doing my business, and then they started to try and beat me up, and I ran away, and he was telling me all this stuff. And then he said, and then I wakened up. I said, yes, Haribol. I said, I'm going to the temple, so maybe. And I'm sure he's just outside, just now with the baby. But this dream is not the yoga nidra of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Our dream is actually an amazing nightmare where we find ourselves in a very difficult situation. We find ourselves in the material world not knowing much at all and with no great future ahead. We struggle on trying to eke out some pleasure in the material world. But it is described, we all know, as dukkhalayam asasvatam. So the dukkhas, the miseries are there, we experience them. But even if you do manage to gain unlimited wealth and pleasure in the material world, somehow or other, although it's not actually possible really, is it? It's not, because the threefold miseries are there with everyone, whether you're the king or whether you're the richest person, you have to suffer the threefold miseries. But even if it appears that you have a little enjoyment, you can't hold on to it. It's temporary. You will die. Then what? What will happen to your empire, to your... And we are getting the experience, some of the not so young people that are here over the weekend. That's you guys, girls. And us. These beautiful young girls are all wrinkled. And they're laughing, thank goodness for that. I'm married to a granny. I never thought that would ever happen. And not only is she a granny, she's an old granny. And my muscles. Yeah. It used to be like that. There's nothing. We saw a man yesterday coming up Kerford Road. My wife said he would look so much better if he would shave up, because he was an old guy, really, really old, and suntanned like anything, and the layers of the wrinkles. He was stripped, he just had a pair of shorts on, and he had white hair, and it was kind of long. I said, he looks like a sage or something. He was one of those white, long sort of white hair, and he was jogging up, and he must have been 80-something, I think, at least. He was really old. And my wife said, he'd look better if he kind of covered all the hair sort of stuff. What other alternative is there for us in this maze of being in this world. To get a good position in the place in Melbourne, I can't remember all the places in Melbourne these days, I forgot them all. Yes, to get a big job or whatever it may be, all the big companies. We know as devotees, what is the use of that? Activities in the mode of ignorance are not interesting. Mode of passion, not interesting. So there's no... Nanda's arrived. We've been talking about Nanda. I was telling everyone about your dream, Nanda. We're having a bit of fun this morning because it's a fun weekend. And now, just as I mentioned, I have to share. You know, here in Melbourne, Mandir, somebody had a good idea that we should train the young devotees in how to give class. How to give the class. So for some period, I don't know if some of the devotees can remember that period. It was quite early on. So they would have an introductory class where someone who wasn't so experienced in giving class would get up for maybe 5 to 10 minutes and just get used to the idea of speaking for a few minutes. And so that was going on. So it was going on good, and we were all getting up and saying a little bit. And then one day, you may have seen a little boy last night in some of the slides. You may or may not. His name is Janika. But Janika lived next door with Ugrashrava in the house just there, through the wall. And Janika, is it Janika or Jenny? Janika. So Janika was such a inspired young child. My wife and I were invited, before we joined the temple, we were invited to Ugrashrava's place for dinner. You know, come for dinner. And Janika came to the door and answered the door. We knocked the door, me and my wife. And Janika opened the door, little boy. And he said, "Prabhu, there's a couple of Kamis at the door." So he was so fired up. He was a really, he was a favorite child of Srila Prabhupada's, as explained. Srila Prabhupada would allow Janika to come in, and Janika was allowed to sit in Prabhupada's room at any time. And he would sit there and eat some prasadam, and he would play in Srila Prabhupada's shower with his toys and water and all the rest of it. And he would put his hand in Srila Prabhupada's pocket sometimes when he was walking. And he was very, Srila Prabhupada very, gave a lot of mercy to Janika. So anyway, one day in the Bhagavatam introductory class, somebody had the idea that, why don't we get little Janika? He could get up and say something. So he did. And just about right here, he was sitting. And we were all sitting, and Janika started. He goes, and we're all kind of, yeah, I wonder what he's going to say. And he goes, "In the Bhagavad Gita," and he started to say a few words of the Bhagavad Gita. We thought, he's such an amazing little kid. He's so Krishna conscious. Then he said, Krishna said this in the Bhagavad Gita. And my dad was saying to mom that all the Brahmacharinis want to get married. And he started to, then he went on and mentioned one or two of them. He said, "Hey, Janika, come on." So, yeah. There's been many different levels of activities here at Mahaprabhu Mandir. I should try and get back to Shastra here, shouldn't we? But yeah, it's all connected, believe me. O greatly learned one, kindly eradicate all my doubts and let me know of all that I have inquired from you, from the beginning to the end. So Krishna consciousness is giving knowledge from beginning to end. There is no higher knowledge. There is no better alternative. It's a little tricky sometimes. We are stuck in a material body. The three modes of material nature are doing their work as they're supposed to do. We will hear as we go on, I read just a few verses ahead, we will hear such so beautiful. Lord Brahma was in anxiety. He was being somewhat overwhelmed. The situation, I never read this part, or maybe I did, but didn't remember. But he feels great difficulty in the situation. It appears the great winds were there, and the lotus flower that he's situated on was very challenging, how to perform his activities. And Srila Prabhupada speaks about being in challenging and difficult situations. Put your hand up if you've ever had a challenging situation in your devotional life. So we will be challenged. We will be challenged to the point where we will be in tears. And that will be very good. We learned a verse some years ago that I'm sure many of you learned very early, but it took me a long time to get to this verse. It was Tatenu Kampam Susumikshamanam Bunjana Ivatma Kitam Vipakam Ridvagva Purvir Viridham Namaste Jivetaya Mukti Pade Sadayava. That those persons who find themselves in difficulty but continue to render service, knowing that these difficulties are the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, specially bestowed upon us to bring us through the false ego, through all the difficulties of this world, and to cry, not tears of just frustration, but tears of helplessness, that Krishna, only you are able to give me shelter. Only you are able to help me in whatever situation I'm in. So, these questions and answers are able to give us full satisfaction. Supersedity, yena atma supersedity, to bring satisfaction to the self. So, once Srila Prabhupada was asked, what is the Vedic, I heard this secondhand, I think it was, I'm trying to remember if it was Sahotra Swami told this, and I remember from there. Harisori Prabhu might remember this, but he was asked, somebody inquired, what is the Vedic technology? So obviously this person was a little in tune with the idea, the concept that Vedic culture must have had some kind of technology. What is that technology? And the answer that, Sahotra Swami, I think it was relating this story. Srila Prabhupada answered in one word, the Vedic technology, parampara. So the devotees are thinking, What Vedic technology? Parampara. Can't quite. How do you get that? And Srila Prabhupada explained that the idea of technology. What is the idea of technology? You can tell me. Technology. What is to solve problems? Yes? Is that reasonable? Explanation. To solve problems. Why do we want to solve problems? To enjoy. To make our life easy. To enjoy. To be happy. Yeah? So Srila Prabhupada's answer was perfect. Parampara. You follow the technology. You hear from the previous acharyas. Your life will become easier, less complicated. You will unravel the three modes of material nature. And you will begin to access the Brahma Sokyam, the spiritual happiness which is transcendental to material happiness and continues forever. Isn't that why we're here? We're here, we want not just a drop of water in the desert, but we want an ocean of unlimited pleasure. And sometimes we get doubtful. An ocean of pleasure? Yes, there's an ocean of pleasure. Why is there an ocean of pleasure? Because Krishna explains that The Acharyas are telling us about it. Impersonal liberation is rejected, is seen as insignificant in comparison to the ocean of nectar, of devotion and loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the eternal associates. I think, I can't remember who it was. There's so many people sharing this week, I can't remember who said what. But we hear that every step is a dance. Every word is a song. And what's the other one?
Festival every night.
And there's a festival every day. Thank you. So today is a festival day. It seems like, isn't it? This is the morning after the night before kind of thing. But it's a festival. Radha Vallabha are still in ecstasy and they're standing resplendent as they always are. And we're in their gorgeous palace. And yes, there will be more prasadam. So we are blessed. We are certainly blessed to be part of this family. And maybe our humble prayer is that we can be blessed with the intelligence to stay in the family of the devotees. I've many times mentioned this point. The difficulties in your life are going to come through devotees. What a statement. What kind of statement is that? Because we give up the association of non-devotees. Isn't it? That is the... Yeah, we give up this and we only associate with devotees. Now, happiness and distress still got to come. So guess where it's going to come from? It has to come from the devotees. So this is an amazing part of our training, is how to work together, learn to live together, learn to forgive each other, learn to constantly go down, take the humble position. Yeah, that's the prasadam. Yeah? Humble pie. That's what's on the menu. And often, you know, when you have khichdi once, it's okay. Twice, three, four. If you get it every day, it's like, oh no, khichdi again. So if you look around, humble pie is on the menu every day. And we don't often, you know, we think we had that last week, thanks. But not again, not me. But yeah, a good dose of humble pie is good for us. Just like I led a kirtanas, and it was kind of good. Everyone was jolly, and I was kind of jolly, and a few people said, oh, that was a lovely kirtan. I thought, yeah, it was kind of good, wasn't it? And I was trying not to get puffed up, but then someone said, I liked your kirtan, Prabhu, but when you were chanting Hari Ramo, not Hari Rama. So our mantra is Hari Rama. And I thought, thank you, Prabhu. Yes. A little bit of humble pie didn't hurt anyone. But it's not easy, is it? When you get that, it's like, oh, I thought I was kind of going to be... But it's actually a blessing. It's a real blessing. So that's the blessings of the devotees. And they're not always like that. And even when they're like that, they're fine. It's just you receiving it because of your false ego that makes it kind of as though it's something bad. We talk a lot about that, what we mean, what we take from things that happen. And we have our own way of making meaning out of them. We kind of add our own meaning sometimes, and it's not maybe what the person actually meant. So, I'm going to finish at that point. Maybe there's some sharing that devotees... That would be nice if devotees would share a little bit. Otherwise, it's time for prasadam, and I think you need at least another 5 or 10 minutes before you start eating again.
I think three times you've
It was syrup. So I'm off the hook now? I was chanting this morning at somehow Mangalarti, and I was really conscious of it. Hare Krishna, I got the Krishna wrong, I think so. And Hare Rama. And I was really trying to do it. But the nice thing is that it hopefully will fade away and I'll stay with the Rama. But it won't be so conscious, I'll be able to be able to do it. Yes.
Like you said, there's galaxies out there, hundreds of thousands, even in school they teach you that. But everyone's going on and they're living on this planet as if we're all, this planet's all around. There's so much fighting and wars and things are going on.
Yeah.
It's so insignificant. Like you said, this planet is like a mustard seed. And yeah, I was wondering why we're all like that, why the whole of the world thinks that we're the only.
Okay, who would like to answer that? Why is it that is the way? Prabhuji.
The beautiful thing about living in this material world, especially on this planet, is that there is suffering.
Gosh.
If there wasn't, then we'd be like the demigods.
Yes. And Korma used to always say, remember we used to say, Melbourne climate is perfect for devotional life. You get a little bit of relief occasionally when the sun's out, like we did over the weekend. Wasn't that wonderful? Shame. And you know, we live in New Zealand, and in New Zealand there's a curse. And the curse is that the sun there is unbearable. Seriously. Like we went out on that walk through the Botanic Gardens there on Saturday, yeah? And it was sun shining, and I had no hat on, and I was fine. In New Zealand, if you're out in the sun for 10 to 15 minutes, you start burning, honestly. It's, yeah. So, yeah, Melbourne. Paradise for devotional life. Anybody else?
I'm just going to say that's why my story you must have sawn off the hot water tap. Because
they're onto the hot water tap again.
No.
There's certain things, monumental events in history, and that seems to be one. Anybody else like to share?
I'll probably have to take birth in my next lifetime and then I'll follow on.
As a penguin, right? I'll show you one. You know, I'm from Scotland, if you didn't gather that. And I've never been called a name that I got called as a devotee. They're so kind. And they call me Jock. Yeah. So it's so ridiculous. You know, you're supposed to be in devotional. Maybe it's an Australian part of it. Because the Aussies are really so excited. Such rough diamonds. Emphasis on rough. But yeah. No. So who was it? Oh, it was Nisringa. Where's Nisringa? Is Nisringa Kavachi yesterday? He called me Jock and I kind of burnt him to ashes and he felt it. He said, please don't call me that. It's like, and he said, everyone used to call you that. So really, the devotees are heavy Harry and Jock and Jock McSheila is kind of more, I like that better. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry?
We all had nicknames in those days.
Can you share?
Jagged Flaming Vasu.
Jagged Flaming Vasu. Check of money. So, Robbie?
One day he used to say flaming all the time.
Yeah.
And I said to him, why do you say flaming all the time? He said, because Krishna said it in the Bhagavad Gita.
They enter into my flaming mouth. All the living entities will enter into Krishna's flaming mouth. Devotees are take a little and expand it. Any other realizations over the weekend? And it's not just the so-called older devotees, because we're all devotees. Some of us kind of wandered in a while back, and some are wandering in now. And so please, anybody, share.
Yes.
Big voice, please, for the lady. Do you know the nectar that you got? As soon as I tasted the nectar, I said, this tastes like Gorni Thai. Didn't it? Like, you don't, there's no other taste like that bathing. Sorry? That was an Australian comment. Yeah, it was probably the cow dung. And then they'd say, toughen up, mate. Sorry, Brandon, did somebody...
Yeah, I think it was from Hare Krishna Valley, wasn't it? From Hare Krishna Valley? Yeah. So it is.
Okay. Ourselves a great disservice, isn't it? Someone says something and we take it to mean that, but more often than not, if you actually went back to that person and said, when you said that, I kind of took it like this, 95%, I would say at least, you find it wouldn't be quite that way at all.
Especially with cultural differences, like you said, Australians have a certain way, and it can be sometimes language differences, it can just be one small word difference. My husband does lots of various samskaras, and one Prabhu said, it came to get a headstanding ceremony, and said, is he going to do the torncha? And I took it as torture. And I look at him, no, we don't do torture. And he's looking at me, what? You don't do torture? So there was this huge
language, culture. It's okay.
It's another word for headshaking. It can happen quite a lot. And you can walk away feeling having quite a complete different understanding of the situation.
Thank you. Okay, we are going to finish at that point. We again thank everyone so much for your association and hospitality here in Melbourne, Maha Guru Mandir. And we thank Srila Prabhupada.
Is there any program today, or is it everything's finished?
I understand that there's no program specifically.
Any of them? It's business as usual. The program was sent out to us Sunday.
No, I was just thinking I could show a slideshow on the library.
Hari Swarupa was saying he could show a slideshow this evening.
I have a slideshow on the research center in Calcutta, so if the devotees want to see it, we can show it tonight if they make the arrangements.
Anybody Melbourne managers here?
What time? 7?
7:30.
Okay, so 7:30 tonight after our attempt, we'll have a slideshow on the back of the dental research center.
Jai. The party continues. Arivo. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.